There's a hadith which is narrated by Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha, and it has been narrated in various kitabs, various books, and it's in Ibn Majah, in Bayhaqi, Mustadrak al-Hakim, and it's a very important subject, this short hadith. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, may Allah give us the ability to understand and to practice on this hadith. Now, a human being, his actions of worship, ibadat, that Allah ta'ala gives a person the ability to perform, the objective for performing those actions is to please Allah, the Creator. Just like we've prayed salah, our niyyah is that Allah, may Allah become pleased with us. And just same way, any ibadat that we do, faraid, compulsory, worship, however Allah ta'ala gives us the tawfiq and ability, then the person thinks that I need to do this so that Allah ta'ala can give me His pleasure. And the person then continues to do more worship and perform nawafil, voluntary actions, read Qur'an, pray tahajjud, and Allah gives him more ability, more opportunities, and a person gets busy in ibadat, in worship. And a person can do as much ibadat as he wants. It's good, because our standard of understanding, or our basis of understanding, is this, isn't it? That the more ibadah we do, the more worship we do, then Allah will become pleased with us more quickly. And this is the basis of our understanding and thinking. And for example, we have problems at home, we start doing recitation of something, or wazaif, or some khatam, or reading Qur'an. We think that to please Allah, that this problem that we've got, this difficulty we've got on my children or on me, Allah is unhappy with me. And then we increase the quantity of the ibadah, of the worship. So this path or solution that we've taken up, and it's correct, alhamdulillah, obviously, that to please Allah by doing ibadah, to worship Allah, and then we'll be successful. But there's something else we need to understand here. Something's missing, a missing link, as this hadith has told us. The subject of this hadith is that Allah Ta'ala isn't just happy with performance of ibadah. Yes, there's no doubt that doing ibadah will please Allah, but we shouldn't displease Allah at the same time, should we? Should we? The Allah Ta'ala says, how do I become displeased or unhappy when a human being performs a sin? A sin. So it's not just about worshipping. It's about also not sinning. So here, if we want to please Allah, we do a lot of worship, and in parallel, we think that we can sin and Allah will continue to be happy. No, Allah will be unhappy. So we're cancelling out our worship. What a big deception in the minds of people today, that we really emphasize on ibadat. We're happy, oh mashallah, he's a jannati, he's worshipping, he's praying, he's going to go to paradise, he's good. That's fine, that's good. But in parallel, he's displeasing Allah. He's implementing the sin. Sins invite adab, punishment, problems, distress, Allah's displeasure. So the ibadat are cancelled out. They amount to nothing. So this action of a human being to sin continuously is very dangerous. Think about it. And this is not some normal, just a small quantity of people. Rather, so many people who do ibadat or ibadat, worship, prayer and dhikr, etc., then this starts to be hidden in the actions of a person, the worshipper. This point about sinning, the actions of sinning, they are hidden within the layers of the worshipper. For example, let's take a person. It's a very good point to think about. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the tawfiq to do big ibadah. We say, Allah, I want to please you, and I want to do a lot of ibadah and worship. Allah, I want to please you. That's right. But on the other side, what do we have? We have sins. We are disobeying Allah, and we sin as much as we can. And then Allah is unhappy at the same time, and sin brings adab. If Allah is unhappy, then we cannot be successful, can we? So for Jannah, we are worshipping and praying and remembering Allah for Jannah, paradise. But on top of that, we are sinning at the same time. So how do we think we're going to get paradise? How can these two things mix? They cannot mix with each other. Sin and worship, Allah's pleasure and displeasure. How can these two things live side by side? We have to take a choice. Either we please Allah or we displease Allah. And what do? We mix both things. And especially that when a person does a lot of ibadah and he becomes more cautious and he wants to pray more, then a point comes into his mind. Shaitan instilled this into the mind of the Muslim that, oh, I'm doing a lot of worship now, I'm pious now. And that person doesn't think about the sins that he or she is committing. We don't even think. In our minds, we start to become weaker in our minds. And then the sin makes a person weak. And obviously a person is weak-minded, the sins are present, he's implementing the sins, he thinks or she thinks, it's okay, I'm doing ibadah at the same time, so Allah will be happy with me, Allah will forget this sin. A big delusion, big delusion. Never can this happen. Never. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated this in this hadith, the subject of this hadith. Wakhatib, as Aisha radiallahu ta'ala is there, and in discussion with the Prophet ﷺ, but the message is for the whole ummah, for the whole nation. So the Prophet ﷺ was addressing Hazrat Aisha, the Aisha radiallahu anha. The message here that has been given is that the Prophet ﷺ said, O Aisha, those sins, to leave the sins, try your best to leave the sins and have extreme worry and concern with regards to those sins, and should try your best. The Prophet ﷺ is telling Hazrat Aisha, which sins? Those sins that people consider small and minor and insignificant. What a brilliant message. Why? The reason is now being explained why. فَإِنَّ لَهَا مِنَ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. That doesn't matter how small you think the sin is, it is a sin. It is an error. Doesn't matter how small the thing is, but it is a sin. And the sin, the quality of sin, in this hadith, the Prophet ﷺ is saying that what is the quality of sin? That sin is such a thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah ta'ala will definitely question us with regards to the sin. We cannot be saved. Allah will definitely question. And then where's that? All the ibadah gone? It's so sad that all of this ibadah we do worship and etc. And on top of that, in parallel, even if it's a minor sin, the Prophet ﷺ said, remember, don't even think that Allah will not ask. Definitely Allah will question us about the sin. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ مِنَ اللَّهِ تَعَلِمًا. Allah Ta'ala definitely will ask. That sin will be presented to Allah, even if it's a minor small sin. And the small sins were shown, that due to that ibadah, due to the worship, due to the prayer, due to the mujahidah, that this is a small thing. We're told that this is a small thing. For example, I requested to you, said to you that when a difficulty comes or a problem comes or when such a situation arises, then we say, oh, please tell me a wazaif, tell me a recitation, please tell me a prayer, please tell me some dhikr that I can remove the problems from my life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, look, He's not giving us something like a bait that if you do all of these actions then all of your life will be fine. No, this is not the concept that we should have. Rather, shaitan has put this into our minds. We don't think this point that we've got issues, we're reciting, doing wazifa. In that same place where we're doing the wazifa, the recitation, the dhikr, we're committing sins there. Wherever Allah Ta'ala said, don't do this in our home, in our family structures. For example, we're reciting, we're Surah Yaseen Sharif, we're doing a khatam to try to remove a predicament, a problem. But the sins are there, present physically at the same time. That same physical state of sins is there. So how weird that we are trying to please Allah through prayer or through some actions, and we're trying to give Allah Ta'ala a bait. We're trying to give Allah Ta'ala some sort of, we think that Allah Ta'ala is greedy, that Allah Ta'ala needs our worship. This is not the method to please Allah. Allah Ta'ala says, if you want to please me, then the ibadah that I've told you, do smaller, less amount of ibadah, but don't commit the sins. Yeah, don't commit sins. You can reduce ibadah, but bring the sins to zero. If we don't pray tahajjud, Allah would not ask us on the Day of Judgment, why did you not pray tahajjud? If I don't recite Quran every day, Allah will not ask me that, why didn't you recite the Quran? If I don't pray, if I don't do nafal, voluntary hajj and umrah, we won't be asked, why didn't you do this? We won't be asked that, why weren't you a hafid or a qari? Or why weren't you an alim, a scholar? We won't be asked this. We won't be asked, no problem. But this definitely we will be asked, that the sin that you consider as a dot, as insignificant, as a minor, that definitely we will be held and asked for. Allah Ta'ala says, the Prophet ﷺ taught us that those sins that you think are minor will not have any bearing on your hereafter. Go towards those sins to remove those sins. It's important to remove the sins, and this is tazkiyah. This is purification. The dhikr that we do to remember Allah, the objective of doing dhikr is that we need to remove the sins from our life. We don't implement sins and we remove the existing sins from our life. And this is success. That the person who does the dhikr of Allah, who remembers Allah and eliminates the sins, and he's got more desire to run towards good deeds than my Hazrat Rahmatullah said, that your dhikr is accepted, otherwise it's a waste. This should be the end product. The conclusion that if we are doing dhikr of Allah regularly, the objective of dhikr is that you are remembering Allah, and if as a result of that you are reducing the sins, that the sins are disappearing, and you start to hate the sins and dislike the sins and you leave the sins, and the khawf and fear of Allah is coming in your heart, you are scared of Allah that I will have to answer to Allah. And this feeling is coming to your life due to dhikr. And if this feeling and condition is increasing, and your desire for good deeds is increasing, then Hazrat said, you don't need to ask anyone about, is my dhikr successful? For most sure, most verily, your dhikr is successful. It doesn't mean that if you do dhikr, you need to see angels or dreams or visions, etc. No. Let's revise this point now. If I'm doing dhikr of Allah, and there are problems in my life, or difficulties, or obstacles, or hurdles, and due to me doing dhikr, my sins are decreasing, and I'm leaving the sins, and I'm going to more towards worship, etc. So this is a good end product. So if, for example, I'm worshipping and then problems come into my life, it's nothing to be scared about. Dhikr is accepted because everything that's happening around you is to increase your darajat and your level. This is the point. Now we think, waswasa of shaitan, oh, I've got problems in life, calamities, maybe my dhikr, I'm doing dhikr, I'm remembering Allah and it's not been accepted. No, there's one measurement rule. That if I am today not what I was yesterday, then my dhikr is having a success. If I think a dhakir, a person who is remembering Allah, brother, sister, any one of us, we should think that the life I lived before today, that I was I disobeying Allah? Was I disobeying Allah from my tongue, from my hands, from my body? And today, what's happening in my life? Then today, am I better and improved person than I was before today? Alhamdulillah, my dhikr is successful and I'm benefiting. SubhanAllah. So this is the point we need to understand, that to reject the sins, this is what we need to attain as an end product, to reject the sins. That when I live my life, I don't live my life as disobedient to Allah. That's it. Not that I start playing games, oh, I'm doing so much ibadah, and I pray tahajjud, and this many wazifa tell me what to pray or recite and read Quran and this and that. And then a person thinks I'm an abid, I'm a zahid. Why? Because he does so much ibadah, she does so much worship, and they're pious, and that person does do these things. Then he starts thinking in his mind that, yeah, I'm pious. No, these sins I'm performing, it's okay, nothing's going to happen. They're not sins, Allah will forgive. Allah Ta'ala's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has explained in this hadith that he's removed such a big veil from us, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that, oh people, don't concentrate on your ibadat, rather concentrate on those sins that you consider as a minor and that you won't be questioned. Most verily you will be questioned by them. If you take a white piece of cloth, a white shirt, and you wear it, and a small black dot comes onto that white shirt from far, people say, oh look, he's got a black dot, a stain on his shirt. So Allah Ta'ala's dhikr, al-dhakir, they are white and clean and pure, the dhakirin. They are pure and clean. So how can the dirt and the impurity come into the body? Because sin is a black dot. The hadith has told us, as soon as a person implements a sin, the black dot appears on the heart. So remember this. Remember this point. That straight away the black dot, and it becomes so permanent, that stain then is washed by two things. If you want to wash it in the world, then it's tawbah, repentance. And if you want to wash it in the hereafter, then it will be washed by hellfire. Hellfire. So let's think. Which choice do we want to go now? Which one do we want to do? Don't think, oh, no, I'm an abid, I'm from the abideen. No, think, Allah Ta'ala has given me hukum. Am I implementing these sins? Allah Ta'ala has told me to refrain from actions. Have I refrained? If Allah Ta'ala has told me to do actions, am I doing those actions? Ask myself. I need to ask myself. That's it. This is what I totally need to do. Those deeds Allah Ta'ala has told us to perform, what are those? 5 times salah, zakah, isn't it? Allah Ta'ala has told 5 times salah, in jama'ah, in congregation, in the best time, beginning time, zakat, compulsory charity, fard hajj, isn't it? This is the faraid. Allah Ta'ala has told us to do these actions, the fasting and Ramadan. This is deen. This is Islam. If I am solid on this practice, then all of the effort after that I have to do is to leave the sins. So in other words, I just need to focus on the faraid, the necessary fard actions to worship, and the rest of my life I need to focus and emphasize and work hard, make effort on leaving sins. There should be no sins in my life. When I make that effort and I say I'm not going to do the sins, then a person says, Allah Ta'ala says, he takes the assistance of the action of dhikr of Allah. Because dhikr of Allah is an assistant. It will help us, drive us, help us, motivate us to leave the sins. And with the fadl of Allah, it will remove the sins from the heart, and it won't let us burn in Jahannam. It will allow us to do tawbah here in this world. Huh? Now if Allah Ta'ala gives tawfiq, inshallah, that our sins are being removed, where the sins are being removed, the sins are being removed, they're going. Then when we do more ibadah, nafal, after that, then there will be noor in our ibadah, in our worship, there will be light. Then we have the haq, the right, our Quran will glow, our tahajjud will glow, our nawafil will glow, and we'll get to ala high maqam. So step number one, just do the faraid, the necessary compulsory, and then leave the sins. Otherwise, what's the point of doing ishraq and tahajjud and nafil, etc.? We're sinning. Oh, I'm praying salah. For example, I'm doing salah. But no, my friends too, can you pray salah without wudu? Of course, we never contemplate this. In the same way, the Prophet ﷺ has given us the hint here, direction here, that how can you perform ibadah and pray to Allah, worship Allah, and in parallel you're doing sins? No, Rasulullah ﷺ said, work harder, have fikr and worry and concern for those sins that we think are minor, and that we think Allah Ta'ala will not question us. Give more attention to those sins. And here's a point, the Mufassireen and the commentators have written here, that in this hadith, the Muhaddithin have stated, there's a point here that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not speaking direct to the Ummah, rather, who is Allah ta'ala addressing? The Prophet ﷺ was told this, and Rasulullah ﷺ addressed Hazrat Aisha, they have such a great maqam, the wife, the mother of the believers, the wife of the Prophet ﷺ, and the Prophet ﷺ is telling her to be concerned about her sins. Then me and you, what status do we have? Do we right? Can we rightly think that we will be successful in the hereafter? So the Prophet ﷺ said, whoever is that person, the greatest abid, the greatest zahid, the greatest worshipper, the kutub, the ghaus, the first thing these people and we will all have to do is to focus on our sins. Don't think the sins are minor. Rather, we have to work harder. That if by chance we sin, then we leave all of our ibadat. Yes, the walis of Allah, the mushaykh, if ever they committed a sin, they would totally leave their ibadah that day, and they would sit and do istighfar all day long and cry, Allah, how did I commit this sin? No, they wouldn't live that double life, that double standard life, that they're practicing and worshipping and sinning at the same time. By night they would cry, Allah, how did I make this mistake? And this is tazkiyah, this is purification, this is the life of the salik, of the traveler to Allah. All night long, the great mashayikh, the abideen, the pious predecessors, the zahideen, they would stop their worship. They said, what's the point of worshipping? How did I commit this sin? And until that time that their heart is not content, they would say, Allah, I feel that now maybe I'm forgiven, I've done so much tawbah. Then they would come back to their worship. Then, for example, if the sin comes again, the car would stop, disembark, do tawbah, ask Allah for forgiveness, repent. Otherwise, Allah, I'm going to be punished in the hereafter. My mission will have failed. Allah, what's my mission? What's my mission? What's your mission? To please Allah. Yes, our mission isn't dhikr or compulsory deeds or worship. Our mission is to please Allah. So how can we bypass the sin if we don't cry, do tawbah, repent? We keep on driving the car down the motorway. Then if that car punctures, the tire punctures, and you're not stopping the car, you're not fixing the tire, repairing the tire, you keep on driving the car. So one split, then the next one puncture, then the third one will puncture, then the fourth one will puncture, then the car will come to a grinding halt. We'll grind to a halt, the car. So we keep on sinning, and we're driving our car, we're worshipping, driving the car, and at the same time we've got the baggage of sin. Then Allah nakare, may it not occur that our iman will leave our hearts one day if we continue to do this. So this, we should try and make effort, my friends, me and you, that the real path, the real method Allah Ta'ala has told us through the hadith, that we should practice this. May Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq to do good ibadat in abundance, but the biggest fikr should be what? To leave the sins. If we commit the sins, then stop ibadat, worship, wash yourself, purify yourself, leave the sin, ask Allah for forgiveness, do istighfar, promise to Allah that Allah, I committed a mistake, this sin I performed, I did zina, for example, or I did other things, or other actions that are sins, Allah accept, I made a mistake, but now I do tawbah, I'm remorseful, I have regret, and after remorse and regret, I promise that from today, I do not sin, then Allah forgive me. At that same time, Allah Ta'ala will forgive. They said, the car doesn't stop. At that same time, the person will be forgiven. Then you start your mujahidat with the fadl of Allah. With the fadl of Allah. Then the ibadah will come again. The ibadah will not be wasted. Never. Alhamdulillah. The mujahidah you did, that will never be wasted. Because at that time, you stop the car. You see the car shaking, juddering. You stop the car. You inspect the tires. Are they inflated? The right pressure. You won't drive if the car is shaking or rocking side to side, or it's not moving properly, it's rocking. You say, what's happened to the tire? To the wheels. So a Muslim, for example, when he commits a sin, he stops ibadah. How did I implement this dangerous act? Let me stop and look at the sin. If I keep on driving and doing ibadah, then the other tire will be affected. Do three things at that time. Allah Ta'ala loves this action where a person stops the car,
parks the car to the side and analyzes and focuses on his sins rather than increasing the speed. Allah Ta'ala gives a reward, mashallah, mashallah. Because we're human beings, we are going to make the mistakes, and Allah Ta'ala elevates the status of a person when he asks for forgiveness. So Allah Ta'ala says that when the person repents, he Allah Ta'ala accepts all, removes all the previous sins and turns them into good deeds. Now let's do dua that may Allah Ta'ala give us understanding of this point today. Allah may Allah give us the tawfiq to leave the sins and to do as many good actions and faraid and nawafil, to practice them with caution. Ameen.